Conor O'Neill here from the Everyday Athlete Program, where we work with everyday athletes to optimize their training, nutrition, and psychology. In this podcast, we present ideas, concepts, and frameworks to help you in pursuit of your goals in those areas. In previous podcast episodes, I outlined how to calculate your recommended calorie and macronutrient intake targets for optimizing your performance and body composition as an athlete. I also went through how to track your food intake in order to hit those targets. It's important to reiterate, however, that these targets are estimates based on the average requirements for someone of your physical attributes and goals. Therefore, these figures may need to be adjusted and more likely will to suit you as an individual. So one method of doing so involves tracking your weekly bodyweight progress and adjusting your intake based on that to the point where you're making the progress you'd like to see. Whilst body weight isn't the only metric we care about, it is a really useful metric, particularly in a fat loss or muscle gain context, since it's accessible, i.e. most people have a weighing scale in their house but may not have a DEXA body fat scanner, for example, and it is a good proxy for body fat and muscle gains over time. Now, it isn't the only thing we should track, as we'll go through, and if you're someone who gets obsessive about scale weight when monitoring it, then it may be worth leaving out and focusing on the other metrics we'll discuss. It's also important to note that as an athlete, you'll have the added factor of performance levels to take into account. With that said, any potential performance detriments can generally be avoided or at least lessened by taking a slower approach and or prioritizing body composition changes in less competitive times of the year. So when you compare your actual bodyweight progress to your expected bodyweight progress based on the previous podcast episodes, you can get an idea of whether or not you need to adjust your overall intake. For example, if you're aiming to lose 0.5 kg per week, but after 3 weeks you've only lost 0.3 kg per week on average, it might be worth considering adjusting your calorie intake downwards to get that 0.5 kg per week average body weight loss. Now, there is a bit of nuance required here, in that whilst body weight is a great proxy measure for progress in a fat loss phase, it doesn't tell the full story. In the example we mentioned, if you set out to lose 0.5 kg on average per week, but are only losing the 0.3 kg on average per week, but you are seeing a lot of progress visually with your body composition, and you are feeling great in training, and you're happy with your rate of progress, then decreasing calorie intake might not be required at all. In fact, in this case, it might be better to stick with your current approach, allowing you to keep eating that higher calorie intake whilst being really happy with the progress you're making and giving yourself the option of decreasing it at a later date. It's also worth noting that the difference in these measurements can easily be down to rounding errors or fluctuations, so it's worth measuring your weight multiple times per week at the same time of day and in the same conditions, and then taking a weekly average using that as your progress metric. The need to change your calorie and macronutrient target is more applicable in cases where your actual progress is very different from your goal. For example, if you are aiming to lose 0.5 kg per week and the weight hasn't moved at all in 3 to 4 weeks, or worse yet, you've actually gained weight, that is a good sign that you probably need to change your intake targets. This concept also applies to those aiming to gain weight. For example, if you're aiming to gain 0.3 kg per week and the scales haven't moved up in 3 to 4 weeks, it's probably time to increase your calorie intake. Again, even in that case, visual changes can be indicative that calorie changes may not be required. But generally, muscle gain is going to be optimally achieved during a phase where your body weight is increasing over time, and fat loss is likely to be optimized when you're losing body weight over time. There are also cases where you may be moving too quickly in the direction that you wanted to, and again, adjusting your intake would generally be advised. In the case of fat loss, losing weight too quickly can mean that you're not supplying adequate fuel to allow for optimal performance, and gaining weight too quickly can lead to excess body fat gain. Other factors, such as visual progress and subjective assessments of the sustainability of your current calorie intake levels, should be taken into account But generally, body weight moving faster than recommended tends to lead to diminishing returns over a long period. There is a really useful decision tree that we'll go through at the end of the podcast episode to make this super simple for you. So if you've deemed it important to adjust your intake based on what we previously mentioned, you'll want to know by how much you should adjust. There are a multitude of factors at play here, but from my experience working with 1,000+ athletes, a 5 to 10% adjustment is usually sufficient. For example, someone eating 2,500 calories per day would decrease or increase the amount by 125 to 250 calories. Now, this range will depend on various factors, including how far off you are from your goal rate of progress. You know, is your body weight moving in the right direction but too slowly, or is your body weight moving in the wrong direction, and where your current hunger levels are. For example, if you're already hungry often, decreasing by a large amount is likely to lead to increased hunger levels and potentially a less sustainable approach. In terms of the macronutrients then, this change in calories will generally be achieved through a decrease in carbohydrates rather than through fat or protein. Now, the reason for this is that protein and fat recommendations are generally recommended based on body weight, as outlined in previous episodes, whereas carbohydrate intake recommendations are at least partially based on your fueling requirements and therefore have a bit more flexibility when it comes to adjusting them. However, there may be cases where adjusting only carbohydrates leads to increasing difficulty in sustainability of adhering to the macronutrient targets, in which case adjusting your fat or, in rarer cases, protein could be an option. An example of this would be someone who is in a weight gain phase while being extremely active, who may require a large calorie intake. If they were to increase their intake by increasing carbohydrates alone, they may be needlessly making it more difficult for themselves to hit those higher calorie intakes compared to if they'd given themselves a little bit more flexibility in food choices by increasing the fat content slightly. On the other end, someone decreasing their food intake might end up decreasing carbohydrates to the point that food volume decreases significantly, meaning they end up being a lot hungrier, in which case decreasing your fat target could allow for more carbohydrates to remain part of the diet while still hitting the total calorie target. In addition to adjusting the amount of food you're taking in, another option is to increase the amount of energy you are expending. You may want to do this by introducing some extra running or other cardiovascular work into your week, but if your training load is already quite high, as it is with a lot of athletes, you may be adding increased stress to the body and therefore reducing your recovery capacity by doing this. In this case, you can increase activity levels through tracking your daily step count, using a watch or smartphone to track this, for example. Once you've tracked it then for a few days, you can increase your step count target by 1,000 to 2,000 per day, which will likely lead to an increase in energy output and therefore assist in fat loss, perhaps without needing to decrease your energy intake. Alternatively, this could of course be used in conjunction with altering your calorie intake, reaping the combined benefits. In order to summarize what we've gone through here today, I have created a decision tree where on a weekly basis, you can assess your progress and make decisions about adjustments that might need to be made as well. So the first thing to do is to look at your average body weight change and ask yourself, is your body weight moving at the desired rate? If it is, then well done, keep going as you are. But if it is not, you then want to ask yourself, is your body composition improving visually? If it is, again, keep going as you are. And if not, you want to ask yourself, have you been consistently hitting your calorie and macronutrient intake targets? If not, then your next step is to improve your consistency for 1 to 2 weeks and reassess. If you have, the next question to ask is, have you been consistently hitting your training and activity level targets? If not, again, improve consistency for 1 to 2 weeks and reassess. But if you have, then it's time to adjust your activity level and or calorie intake by 5 to 10%. Thanks for listening. And if you'd like to find out more about our program, The Everyday Athlete, and if you'd like to see testimonials from the lads we work with, you can go directly to the info page by clicking the link in the episode description.